just so that there's at least one thing that we do in this service like the first service, turn to your neighbor and say, your face needs revival. Yeah, there's a... Do you know how to smile? Do you have joy? There's something about a joyful face, a joyful countenance that the Lord loves. People like it too. See, I've noticed that if you're smiling, I preach better. That's just kind of how the equation works. If you look intimidating, I get nervous. Believe that if you want to. Yeah, I'm just kind of... We're starting the car again, you know. And we're up here in that cold weather. You got to warm up the engine a little bit, right? Yeah. Well, during the song, I just... got a couple of things that might be for the church as a church that I'll just kind of pour out once your pastor's done checking his emails. No, I'm just kidding. See, I just like to make troubles. See, I told him I get the microphone after him, so you know he's got to be careful. But I was looking at your flag out there, and all these thoughts came to mind about your region and your role in this place. And first, as I was looking at the flag, I just saw a series of visions about that flag, and I saw Iwo Jima. You know, a place where a great victory was won. But it was a costly victory. And I feel like that's for your church, that this is a place where a great victory is going to be won and is being won, but it's a costly victory. And it costs you in the context of choices that you will be required to make. See, that's one of the greatest costs of following Jesus is the choices that are required to keep following. Jesus said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. And what that means, what it means to take up the cross is to choose. Taking up the cross is a daily habit of making choices for God instead of for something else. For obedience, for discipline, for consecration. You know, I was in a meeting over in Ireland, and you know, there are times that God really helps with the prophetic in kind of profound ways that after I find out what I actually said by hearing the feedback from somebody, I go, wow, that was really cool. And I just love God more because I don't even know what I just said until I hear the feedback. But I was in Ireland and doing a bunch of meetings. This is like about 2 weeks ago. And I had a night off. And I was asking the Lord how to spend that time, you know, because I wanted... You know, I know how to relax when it's time to relax. And there was the Lord set me up an opportunity to be in this nice little guest house in the middle of the countryside of Ireland. And so I was very, and so I was asking the Lord about, you know, how far to take. Turn to somebody and say, learn how far to take your, because there's a point that is refreshing, and then there is a point where you start to suffer loss. But it's often undiscernible because you don't recognize it for the loss. You can only discern it if you were to understand what you could have had if you did it differently. Do you understand the difference? In other words, most people, if they pass by a stranger on the street and they never talk to them, they will not know what they missed. And they will go on living their life, enjoying that day as they would have otherwise, other than the missed opportunity. So, they live in the context of having no idea of what could have been. And that's the way many things with the Lord are. Many opportunities, many of the choices you make to be more consecrated, more prayerful, more focused, are only discerned in that way. Because you don't know what you missed. You're totally unaware of what God would have done if you would have said yes at a higher level. Turn to someone and say, say yes at a higher level. Yeah. See, and so here I was in Ireland. I'm in this setting, and I'm saying, Lord, how do I spend the evening? And I was like, all right, do I do this? And do I eat some extra, you know, do I kind of indulge my appetite a little bit with some goodies? You know, do I watch the movie? What do I do with tonight? And I chose to flesh out a little bit, not in a, you know, sinful way, but in a, did I really have to eat that? Did I really have to watch that kind of way? You see, the psalmist said this, turn my eyes, O Lord, from looking at worthless things. Yeah. Yeah. See, turn to somebody and say, discern the value of what you do. See, much of the loss we suffer is simply because we haven't recognized what is truly of value and what is of lesser value. And so because we haven't taken the time to really count the cost of the lesser choices, we don't know the loss. We don't understand. And so I had this, you know, I made the choice again. I didn't commit any sin. I just spent my time doing lesser things. And so I ate a little extra, a little sweeter, a little this, a little that. And I spent the evening watching a couple flicks on whatever was on, or Netflix or sport. I don't even know what it was. That tells you how valuable it was. I don't even remember what I wasted my night on. Because I was, I've been working hard. I'm just going to relax tonight. But I had engaged. I had asked the Lord, how do you feel about that? And so in a loving way, he gave me this dream that night. And in the dream, I was in my house, and my brother came in, and we made a trade. And I had up on top of my refrigerator, I had this, like this playing card, like a baseball card type of thing. And you know what a baseball card has on it, or any sports card, has the face of an individual, and then all these facts about them. Turn to somebody and say, that's called the prophetic. That's revelation. That's words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I had that. I already had that in my possession on my refrigerator. And when my brother came in, he brought in two soft pretzels. Salty. Hot. Lovely. Pretzels. Turn to somebody and say, pretzels are not sin.
Pretzels are not
sin. They aren't. It's not about sin. Turn to somebody and say, it's not sin that's robbing you. This is a room full of believers, people who have said yes to God, people who are turned from sin. But it's also a room full of people that are choosing lesser things. See, in this dream, I had the playing card, and I traded the playing card for the pretzels. Yeah. Turn to somebody and say, Jacob and Esau.
Jacob.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole point was, Dan, you asked me, how do I feel about this choice? Turn to somebody and say, are you asking the right questions? I asked, and so he gave me the dream. If I would not have said, Lord, how do you feel about me chilling out tonight? How do you feel about it? Rather than spending the night in prayer and the word and worship and getting ready for the next days where I do have ministry, just pulling back, how do you feel about that? And he was like, you traded revelation that could have come to you, could have been yours, that I made available already for pretzels, for lesser things. And is it sinful? No. It's just lesser. When God says, I have this precious thing for you, and you chose. Still remember, my wife had this dream. My wife gets all the dreams that bust me. Anybody married to somebody like that? She gets all the dreams that just nail me to the, you know, to the cross. And it's like, God, I thank you for my blessed wife. Sometimes, you know. Yeah. You know. But she has this dream, and she says, Dan, I had this dream about you. And she's like, that's the first half. And she says, the Holy Spirit just, or the Lord just spoke to me in a dream, and he said, the Spirit is very strong in your husband. And I'm thinking, wow, that really sounds good, honey. Thank you. What? And she's like, yeah. And then he kept talking. I was like, well, I'm thinking, yes. One of those totally affirming moments. It's going to be great. And she said, and then he said this. He said, and so is the flesh. And I was like, oh. Turn to somebody and say, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. You see, God's calling us high. And he's not angry. And you see, the thing about the pretzel dream with the cards, he spoke it to me. I felt the arrow. Oh, I could have chosen better. And then I heard him audibly, internally audibly, the next phrase he said, do not think about it again. In other words, don't get stuck in condemnation. That's not the point of my communication with you. His emphasis was, you asked me to teach you, so I'm just trying to open your understanding to what's available so you choose better next time. Don't get stuck in condemnation. Choose better next time. Turn to somebody and say, choose better next time. Yeah. You see, that's what fathers do. Fathers don't focus on condemning the weaknesses and failures of their children. They train them to grow up, to mature, to succeed, to be wiser. And that's the heart that God leads us with. His goal is never to beat you down and crush you like some of us experienced because we had broken parents. And they had broken parents. And back for many generations of brokenness. But God isn't that father. God is the father who says, son, I'm going to speak truth to you, but not for the purpose of damaging you and punishing you. I'm going to speak truth to you to call you higher. Turn to someone and say, love calls us higher. Love calls us higher. That's who God is, he wants to set a vision of who we can be if we just keep saying yes to the right things and say no to the right things. And that's the struggle. So anyhow, I was looking at the cross and I saw Iwo Jima. It's the cross too. I'm seeing a cross. Anyhow, the flag, I just saw Iwo Jima. And I just saw this place of victory. And then I just saw a memorial. And I just really, I don't know if you've been thinking about making that a memorial. But I just had this picture of like a little memorial garden around your flag out there as a place of reflection to and a reminder and a statement to the community. And that was the next thing that I saw, as I felt very strongly that one of the callings on this church is to stand for this nation to your city, to your region, that you become affirmers, cheerleaders for our nation, to this region, lovers of this nation, supporters, prayers. And I don't mean that in a political sense. I mean that in the context of the attitude of your heart and the positivity of your heart and the desire for unity and the respect of differing points of view for Jesus' sake. And for the nation's sake, that there is a calling on you. And the more that you own that, the more that God will give you unique authority. He wants to give this church very unique authority. Don't you love technology that your notes disappear when you pause for a moment? I only wrote down a few thoughts, but the next thing that, again, the same image rose up in my mind, and as I was looking at it, I felt like the Lord said, take the high ground. Because I began, as I was looking at it, it reminded me, that ridge reminded me very much of Gettysburg. Because Gettysburg, the victory, the core of the Northern Army was on a ridge called Cemetery Ridge. And that was the high ground that was crucial to their victory. Turn to someone and say, the high ground is crucial to our victory. The moral high ground, the spiritual high ground, the ethical high ground, the scriptural high ground. Taking the high ground is the key to your victory and your influence in this region. God is looking for people who will take the high ground. There was a time where I had a dream where I saw two parallel paths. The lower path was a paved road. The higher path was a very narrow dirt trail that was very difficult. And I realized most people take the lower road. But God is calling us to take the higher road. Yeah. And that's who we're called to be. Be that way in your family. Years and years and years ago, my wife talked about, as we were learning how to be married, how we would resolve the differences between us. Turn to somebody and say, there are differences between us. Yeah. And so as we were having that conversation, we came to a conclusion that for the most part, our goal, if we differed about how to do something, for the most part, we would objectively look at the two options and choose the higher path, regardless of who it came from, that we would make a goal to choose the higher path. And we haven't done that perfect because we still have flesh and we still have wills and we attach ourselves to our opinions just like you do. Turn to somebody and say, don't be too attached to your opinion. Yeah. Because you see, God is going to detach us from some opinions. Yeah. And then I saw very clearly the calling on your church that God's eye is on land. And you're going to see that you're, as a congregation, you are going to have a gift for land. And I don't even know really what that means. I just know from the Holy Spirit that there are going to be unique things that happen with the land. And I feel like it's going to lead to some very strategic intercession. Because there is an arena of maturing that God wants to bring to this house in the area of intercession. As a community, you have not yet really grown strong in the arena of corporate intercession. And he wants to train you in that and teach you strategic prayer, teach you even, I just see people from this congregation beginning to move throughout the region and actually do targeted strategic prayer in different locations. And God's going to begin to help you learn how to recognize the warfare in the region, the spiritual climate. And he's not just going to have you pray, but the prayer is going to empower specific course of action. Because God wants to mobilize you better. And through the prayer, through the revelation that comes, and turn to somebody and say, revelation equals new ideas. When I say revelation, some of you are shutting down because it's too mystical a term. It just means new ideas that didn't come from you. They came from the Holy Spirit instead of you. But it, so it's not as profound and revelation. It's just new ideas, new stuff. Turn to somebody and say, God's going to do new stuff. Yeah. And, you know, anybody ever heard of, what was the guy's name? Charles Finney. Yeah. He was a lawyer. But his gift was to make complicated things simple. Even though he was very intelligent, he preached at a sixth grade level intentionally. Because the goal is to be understood, not to impress. I am intentionally goofy, simple, humorous, because my goal is not that you go, wow, he is such a scholar. That's not on my radar. My goal is that you go, wow, I get it. I can do that. That's for me too, not just the special anointed ones. Because that's the problem. So many of us, we see somebody with a gift and we go, ooh, wow. And God's like, it's not them, it's me. And so if you have me, see, anybody hear about the Pensacola revival that happened? There was, back in the day, back in the 90s, there was the Toronto outpouring and there was the Pensacola outpouring, basically at parallel times. And I love it because to me, it was like Jesus and John the Baptist. Because Jesus said, I came and I ate and I drank and you called me a glutton, a drunkard, and a friend of sinners. John came, he didn't eat and drink, and you said he had a demon. In other words, God presented himself in these two extremes, and you just rejected it all. Well, Pensacola was fear of the Lord and holiness and come running to the mercy seat and I'm dying. You know, you're afraid you're being hung over hell, you know, and God used it. Toronto was the exact opposite. It was the love of the Father, encountering the Father's love, Mary of Bethany, sit at the feet of Jesus. Ooh, it's love. But the manifestations of the Spirit were the exact same in both rooms. I spent a lot of time at both places, and it was the same Holy Spirit, whacking people, giving visions, shaking, crying, falling down. Same Holy Spirit, totally different package. And that's intentional with God. And so I had heard about the Pensacola revival. And I had heard that people were getting healed there. And so I wanted to go. Because I love revival. I love the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to receive the gift of healing. Yeah. And this is really important. This is going to change somebody's life today. This whole couple stories I'm going to tell. So I drive, it's 21 hours from Sturbridge, Massachusetts to Pensacola. So, or I might have been in Southern Connecticut at the time, but it's a long way. Either way, I was We drive 21 hours because we're going to South Florida. Pensacola is way West Florida. So we drive all the way there on the way to our family vacation in South Florida. We drive all day. We get there at 15 minutes to 7 o'clock at night. We're all excited because the meeting starts in 15 minutes. We made it just in time, but nobody told us they start lining up at 5 in the morning. And so 5,000 people don't fit in a 3,000-seat room, which means there's 2,000 people in the overflow building, the old sanctuary, across the parking lot, who are going to watch it on television. Well, guess where we ended up? Not just in the overflow room, the last row of the overflow room. 2,000 disappointed people watching it on a big screen. And we're behind all of them going, bummer. This is a bummer. And we're, you know, but we're trying to be joyful and still have faith that God's going to do something after all this. And so we're there, and I'm really wanting the healing anointing. And so now I'm not even in the right room for Steve Hill or anybody to lay hands on me. And I'm like, oh, I'm feeling sorry for myself. And the next thing you know, there's an usher stand. None of you ever feel sorry for yourself, right? I know you would never do that. You're far more mature than I am. But it's just, I'm broken, and so I'm feeling this way. But next thing you know, there's this usher standing beside me. Suit, badge, walkie-talkie. And he's just chatting, you know, chit-chatting. And he finds out I'm a pastor, and I'm from Connecticut. I drove 21 hours and can only be there one night. And he's like, really? Wait a minute. Just feeling the ground tremor just a little. Something's happening. Yeah. And he gets on the walkie-talkie. And blah, 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 blah. Next thing, Mr. Lee, you're a pastor? Yeah. Drove 21 hours? Yeah. Can only be here tonight? Yeah. Come with me. And I'm thinking, yeah, God's got my back, you know. So, yeah, sure enough, they take us up, follow us. Tammy and I, we're walking. Now we're outside. We're walking across the parking lot towards the right building. And there's two men in suit. You know, we got the one man in suit leading us to the two men in suits, you know. And now it's like double portion. You know, double. It's all feeling good. And they take us to the door, and they open the doors. And, I mean, it felt like, yes. Opening the door for the man of God, you know, and you're just feeling it, you know. And none of you have pride, right? None of you ever struggle with your ego or your vanity, your imagination. Yeah, you're free there. But so I'm just being, this is therapy for me today then, just because I'm the only one like this. So I'm going to tell you the story. This is my AA, you know, testimony kind of. Anyhow, so I'm there. Doors open, they lead me. Mr. Lee? Yes. Now I'm Mr. Lee. I love it, you know. And the men in suits with the badges and the walkie-talkies, you know, they lead me into the packed auditorium. 3,000 people, balcony, and they're all there. And here come my wife and I. Being led by the men in suits all the way to the front and all the way down. And my wife's probably thinking, I don't want to be here. You know, it's probably what she was thinking. I never did ask. I just, I know for me, it's like, wow, the Lord's going to give me the healing anointing. It's going to happen. I know the Lord just, I knew I was being led by the Lord. And all the way to the front row. And we get to the front row, the pew, and there's a sign on the pew. And it says VIP section. And I'm thinking, it just keeps getting better. Yes, now, front row, VIP, 3,000. I'm going to get the healing. And I'm being a little extreme for you, but you get the point. So here we are, front row, 3,000 people. Steve Hill's about to start preaching. I'm like, I am going to get the healing anointing. And I'm all happy about it. And Steve starts preaching, and it's awesome, and he's fiery. And all of a sudden, he just stops, and he's up on the pulpit. And I'm sitting, you know, kind of over on the front row where you are there. And big auditorium. All these things happen to me in big auditoriums, you know. So either, you know, either people are watching me be blessed or crucified, one or the other, you know. And this guy, he just stops. Steve Hill just, mid-sentence, I just got a word, came straight down. He's all excited, just came straight down. He says, there's a pastor here. And he's looking right at me. And I'm thinking, yes, there is. There's a pastor here. And he's like, and he's come for the healing anointing. And I'm like, yes, because I've had these other good experiences. So I'm thinking, yes, there is a pastor here, and he has come. So I'm thinking, yes, I'm already dancing inside. You know, he's come for the healing anointing. And the Lord says, and I'm thinking, yes, he does. Of course he does. And then he says, the Lord says, there are so many things between him and that pastor. And I'm thinking, yes, there are. And he says, that he can't give it to him. Turn to somebody and say, bringing him in for the kill. Yeah. In front of 3,000 people. The only thing that could have been worse is if he would have pointed, you know, and said, you on the front row, come here, stand in front, you know. That would have been the only greater humiliation and pain. Luckily, they knew it was somebody in that region, but they didn't know exactly. But if you were putting the math together, the guy who just got marched in, that's probably, you know, that, turn to somebody and say, the Lord knows exactly what you need. You see, that was painful and so good for me. Because you see, it was a gift. See, in that, there was both a correction and what's called an implied promise. Remember, you always have to hear through the lens of God's love and goodness. His absolute wisdom, his absolute purity. He is never being cruel. If he does that, it's because he knows the positive outcome that he is preparing you for, that he is leading you to. And the implied promise is, Dan, there are all these things here that keep me from giving you what you want, but if you'll take care of them, I can give it to you. And I want to give it to you. Turn to someone and say, you have a choice. You have a part to play in receiving more from the Lord. So, I have that experience. My heart is confronted. And I live in that for like 10 years. Carrying, deal with me, cleanse me, take it out, whatever it is. I don't even know what these things are. Because morally, I was a good person. Turn to somebody and say, it's not about your morality, it's about your choices. I'm very moral. I'm an upright person. I don't steal, I don't smoke, I don't swear. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about worthless things. We're talking about wrong thinking. Turn to somebody and say, your theology might be a barrier to God. You see, there's a lot of things that can be between us that we don't recognize are between us. So, fast forward 10 years. 10 years later. Anybody here of Todd Bentley? Here comes the clock. I love it. Yeah, the congas are next. You know? You're my hero. I just love having fun. remember, you got to have a sense of humor. Got to have fun. But here I am, 10 years later, Todd Bentley. Anybody hear of him? The Lakeland outpouring. It was real. It was real. But he was human. So it got derailed. But he was. But it was real. The move of the Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit there was real. And same thing. It broke out. I wanted some. So I took a couple of my elders and said, let's go down to Lakeland. Let's see what God will do. We drive all the way down to Lakeland. We drove or flew. I don't even remember. But we get down there. And again, 15 minutes before the meeting, big auditorium, balconies. Now there's no seats on the main level, no seats in the first level. We're up in the nosebleed section. Can't even find a seat there. We're standing in the aisle, perplexed. You know, we're so far from, in our minds, so far from the glory that, you know, we're going to read about it in tomorrow's news. We're not going to encounter anything. In our weak human mind, turn to somebody and say, your mind is in the way. Yeah. See, we rationalize away God's bigness, and we make him far too small. And so here I am, I'm in the standing in the aisle up in the third level, like, you know, imagine going to the Patriots game and being up in the nosebleed section and can't even find a seat there. It's kind of like that. And we're up there, and the next thing you know, this usher comes walking by. Turn to somebody and say, here we go again. Yeah. Turn to somebody else and say, God remembers. Yeah. Yeah. See, God never forgets. And he looks at us. He looks around. He says, can't find a seat? He said, no. He takes a moment. He looks over the balcony down to the main level. He goes, hey, guys, come here. I was like, yeah. And he points to the front row. He says, you guys want to sit down there? See, he said this. He said, my job as the usher is Todd keeps a few rows of seats in these big meetings for his guests, special guests that might come, VIPs. He uses that word again, and I'm like, oh. Yeah, he goes, he reserves those until after the meeting starts. But then he asks us to find people from the upper levels to fill those seats so that from the camera, because the camera only shows the front, it doesn't look like the meetings are empty and people understand it's a full house. So he's like, would you be willing to go down and sit down there? And we're like, I'm thinking, I don't know. And I say, but I just surrender. Turn to somebody and said, just surrender. That's what Jesus had to do when he went to the cross. He just had to let go of his control, his need to be the boss. Okay, you're doing this, Lord. This is still the same story. Turn to somebody and say, it's still the same story. See, what's going on in you now is not a different story. It is part of last year's story, last decade's story. And this is for you, young lady. God is still, no, it's you. Yeah, you are still in the story with God. And things of seasons past, God's still at work. He hasn't forgotten. He hasn't failed you. He hasn't broken promises. He is a faithful God. And you're in the story. You can't see it the way he sees it, but in the days ahead, you will see that God is faithful in a whole new level. And it will be such a gift to you and to others. But so here I am. I'm up in there and you want to go to the front, and now we're saying, okay, we'll go. I'm just, you know,
I don't know whether
a blessing or a spanking is on the way. I'm just saying, I'm in. I don't know, but I'm in with Jesus. Yeah, I'm just in. So they take us down through back doors, behind stage, and we're behind stage, and we meet this guy that his name's General John Butler. He's a three-star general in the military chaplaincy. But he's also a guy who spent years carrying a cross around the world preaching the gospel. Powerfully gifted. He's back there just being a backstage security usher. He's like, Dan Lee! Da, 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 da. And he's like, any meeting you come to, just call me and I'll let you in early. You can get these same seats every night that you're here. And I'm like, I'm not sure yet whether I want these seats every night. But puts us on the front row, and we have some 2 or 3 days of good meetings, but nothing, boom. And I'm like, Lord, why did you do this? And I felt like the first answer was, so that you know you're safe. Turn to somebody and say, you're safe. You're safe. And then, the last night, because I was going directly from there to minister in Sri Lanka, and my hope had been that I'd get a deposit and fly to Sri Lanka and be able to pour out some Lakeland. Well, I have a dream that night, and in the dream, anybody know who Cheon is? Cheon's an apostolic network guy, and I have this dream where Cheon, I see his face and he's talking to me, but it's Todd Bentley's voice coming out of Cheon's mouth. And he says this, he says, I hope you're coming back because I have a message for you. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm coming back. So I fly, do my trip to Sri Lanka, go home, and literally almost immediately get my wife, a couple of others, and we go back down to Lakeland. Because I'm like, I can't not go after that. Yeah. Turn to somebody and say, sometimes you just have to go. You just have to go. Because it's an unfinished story. You have to give God opportunity to finish the story. But many of us quit, get hurt, get offended, and we walk away and we never let God finish our story. The story's not over yet. The story's not over. God has an awesome story that he's writing. And you are going to interpret the journey. Within a decade, you'll look back and this story will look so different to you. And you will realize, man, God had my back. Yeah. And you will help young people. You will help them in a life-giving way. Because, man, you got a gift for speaking, for leading, for inspiring, for giving courage to people. You're going to break chains off of people. You're going to have a gift for taking that rebellious, defiant one and leading them into a tender heart with God. And it's going to be an awesome thing. But your story is still being written. Yeah. So here I am. I'm going back. Turn to somebody and say, you got to go back. Got to go back. Let God finish the story. So I go back and I'm down there first night. It's Monday night. I still remember Monday night. They've moved to another, even bigger place. It's a tent outside. It's like 7 tents all glued together. I don't even know how they did it. But it was this big outdoor tent. And we're in there. And you see, with Cheon, it's one of those, or I mean with Todd Bentley's revival meetings, because he wanted to honor the Sabbath he would take one day every week where he didn't preach and a guest minister would preach, but he did it a different day every week so that no one created a culture of, well, don't bother going on Mondays because Todd's not there, or don't go on Tuesdays because that's his day off. You know, they wanted to keep the energy of the meetings, so he would move his day around so you never knew which day of the week he's not going to speak. But we get there, we're in the meeting, worship's done, it's about time for the speaker, and the MC gets up and says, well, guys, just want to inform you, tonight is Todd's Sabbath night, and so he's not going to be sharing tonight, but speaking in his place is going to be a brother named Che-On. Remember? Che-On's face, Todd Bentley's voice. Turn to someone and say, God knows how to get your attention. You see, I'm going, ever been speechless where you just you want to be profound and there's just nothing there because all you are is like blown away? Turn to somebody and say, God wants to blow you away. Yeah. See, the strength of my 37 years of chasing God is all of these little moments where God says, I am so much bigger than you think I am. Day after day, year after year, God shows himself glorious, strong, wise, loving. And I just live in this sense of, okay, I can go another round. Yeah. Anybody ever watch Rocky? The Christian life is like Rocky One. Yeah. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit are like the little Irish guy in the corner. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Here, let me put the cut back. And he gets the little Irish thing in your face and cheers you on. And tells you what to do. And then you go out and you just keep swinging. I mean, because the whole story of Rocky is that Rocky was not a good fighter. He just wouldn't quit. The whole point of that story is his goal was not even to win the fight. His goal was to be the only guy in history that wasn't knocked out. Turn to someone and say, just keep swinging. That's what Rocky was all about. He just wouldn't quit. And, you know, and so God just wants to keep it. Giving you what you need in between rounds to get back out there and keep fighting. Whether it's a prophetic word, a dream, a divine encounter. And so now here I am, and Che-On is speaking with Todd Bentley's voice, and it's another, I'm still writing your story, Dan. And he spends the whole time, he preaches one simple point in about 10 different ways. And the simple point was, remember, why did I want to go to Pensacola the first time? To get the healing anointing. Well, Todd Bentley spends the whole service to communicate one principle, and it was anyone can heal the sick. Spent the whole service. Just anybody can heal the sick. Yeah. You don't have to be special to heal. And you see, when God said, there are so many things between you and I that I can't give it to you, he wasn't talking about my sin. He was saying, Dan, you have a wrong belief that is holding you hostage. You have made it a gift for the special, and that if you just work hard enough and you do this, then you can have it. And that had to go. There is value in fasting and prayer. There is value in those things. But that doesn't keep us from being used by the Holy Spirit on the way. And you see, that's the tension. Even as I described the refrigerator dream with the card and the trading the higher level for the food, that's true too. And that's the tension. There is more if you consecrate yourself. But it doesn't mean there is nothing until you do. And that's the wrong conclusion. Turn to somebody and say, just start. Just do it. Just begin and participate in the things. Speak the word. Pray for people. Lay hands on the sick. Use your gifts. Prophesy. Just start with the measure you have, because the goal is faithfulness. Because the scripture says, if you are faithful with little, I will make you Lord over much. But we think it happens like this. I'm faithful in little, and then boom, remember, just like the morning service, poof. We want poof. We think, all right, I'll be faithful, faithful, faithful. And then poof, suddenly I'm going to have a million times increase and it's going to be this. But that's not how it works. It's just that I keep saying yes. I keep getting back up and doing and speaking and serving and loving and praying and helping and using my gifts and my weakness. And God just helps me grow a little every day. One of the reasons I can do what I do now in front of you with prophetic things and stuff like that is not because I'm this super anointed guy. It's just that I've had 37 years of practice. And I keep putting myself in a context where I have to do it. That's the secret, is I just keep stepping into trouble. Stepping into opportunity. Stepping into need. Look for trouble, opportunity, and need. And go there. That's what Jesus did. He just... John chapter 4, he shows up at the well. And he's like, okay. He's just hanging out. Sometimes God shows up when you just hang out. Just go out. Be out with God and just be there and wait for God to happen. And someone will come across your path. And that's what he's doing. He's just there hanging out. And then he makes trouble. He does. He starts talking to someone that society said you shouldn't be talking to. She's a woman, first of all. She's a Samaritan, second of all. Men didn't talk to women in public. Jews didn't talk to Samaritans in public. But Jesus did. He did what was culturally unorthodox, culturally to the edge of their boundaries, but not to the edge of God's boundaries. Turn to somebody and say, there's a difference between man's boundaries and God's boundaries. God's boundary is love. God's boundary is love in a context of purity. That's not man's boundary. And so he's there at the well, and a person comes, and he just steps in. And even his own disciples, when they come, they're like, what is he doing talking to her? Turn to somebody and say, other people might not understand you. But that's okay. That's okay. God didn't ask you to be popular. Turn to somebody and say, popularity is the wrong goal. Faithfulness is the right goal. And so Jesus is just there, and he's relational, and he engages her in a conversation, and words. Turn to somebody and say, the words of God release the Spirit of God. See, he just starts to speak relationally, and God turns the story. And that's what he even taught his own disciples. He said, when you stand in front of kings and governors, don't have a plan. If you notice, I'm not using notes. It's because I choose to demonstrate that principle. I choose to come and just trust that words will be there. And that's part of why half the time it's like, you know, curveballs and roller coasters. But it changes lives. But it's intentional. It's not carelessness, lack of preparation. It's a confident dependence on the Holy Spirit so that somebody else can see that and say, Oh. And so I, what do? If you notice both services, I start a conversation with you. And then I just let the Holy Spirit lead the conversation. And eventually it's like that point in the roller coaster. And momentum comes. But that's how the Holy Spirit works. We engage others in conversation, and if we're just well-intentioned and God-centered in our values and our thoughts, He takes us higher and higher, and then suddenly Holy Spirit's now in charge of the conversation, and it goes to a whole different place. And that's what you see with Jesus. He wasn't there with a plan. He's there with a heart. And He just starts loving and communicating, and the next thing you know, if you knew who was in front of you, you would. Because what He's doing is He's responding to her. Because you see, the scripture says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And growing in wisdom, growing in your ability to touch others is a matter of learning to listen to their heart, not just their words. Because every time someone opens their mouth, they are revealing something about the condition of their heart, where their heart is, what's going on with them. And the leadership of the Holy Spirit takes that, and you don't even always know consciously that you've picked up on what's going on in their heart, but you begin to speak to it. And the Holy Spirit ministers. And this is what God has for us. Close your eyes and listen to that guitar for a minute. And I want to challenge you to feel the guitar. Don't just hear the guitar. What do you feel when He hits that bass note? What do you feel when He strums many strings quickly? What's going through you? That note right there, did you feel that? Right there, did you feel that? In the same way, I'm just identifying something musically as a reference point for learning to recognize what's going on inside of you. Because the leadership of the Holy Spirit is the same way. What you're noticing is the amplification of things or the change inside of you. You're talking to someone and it feels the same way, and then suddenly there's a change inside of you. See, as I minister to you, I'm looking for the change in you. I'm feeling what's happening in me, but I'm also looking at you. And again and again, as I call a specific person out, it's because as I'm speaking, I know what you felt like as I looked at you. I know the feelings I felt looking at you. And then when there's a sudden change in that, I know that's the Holy Spirit highlighting whatever topic I was talking about is relevant to you. And I'm just very sensitive to that now. And so I begin to speak to that sensitivity. And then the words come. But God has that for every person who is willing to learn to quiet the internal noise. Turn to somebody and say, quiet the noise inside of you. The more you learn to quiet all the noise inside of you, the more you will be aware of change. Your perception is sharpened and you're able to recognize, huh? And God works in the context of themes. Jesus is there. The woman starts a conversation about water. Or no, he starts it just with the simple, could I have some water? But her reaction is what takes the conversation to the next level. She doesn't just react with a, yeah, gladly, here, have some water. She reacts with a religious perspective. And that triggers the conversation. He's in tune with it. He was so sensitive that in a crowd like would follow Elvis if he were to walk through Walmart at Christmas time, this woman presses through the crowd knowing that if I can just touch Jesus, I'll be healed. I mean, imagine that. His own disciples say, he stops when she touches him and is healed. He says, who touched me? And his disciples go, how could you say that? Everybody's touching you. I mean, that's the Elvis picture. Everybody is pressing in because they want a piece of him. He's already famous. So he's managing that kind of attention. And he says, who touched me? And they say, well, everybody's touching you. But he's not satisfied with that because he knows out of all the touches, one person touched him more deeply. Someone of this whole crowd touched him with faith, touched him with conviction and need and desire, whereas everyone else is just a crowd. See, that's sensitivity. He's sensitive enough that he can isolate the one in the midst of the many. See, the hardest part of doing what I do as far as prophetic ministry is not the gift itself. It's imagine if in this room right now, every one of you, your spirit was speaking to me. Imagine if that was audible. What would that sound like? If each one of you was communicating with me right now, because you are. Your face, your countenance, your posture, your physiology, body language, all of that is speaking, and your spirit is speaking. All of the human emotions, all that, it is noise in the context of hearing the Holy Spirit. And so the challenge is not to hear a prophetic word. The challenge is to isolate a specific individual amidst all the noise. Do you understand what I mean by that? How do we learn to focus our spiritual hearing so that in a room where every person is speaking to me, I can zoom in on the one need and the one response from God and speak to that in the midst of the spiritual noise? That's the challenge of refining your spiritual senses. And that's why sometimes you just know, I just spoke about something that's relevant to 20 people in the room, because you just feel it coming back to you. But what I'm teaching you now is the prophetic, how to be more discerning, how to walk in your spirit more. So, because God's heart for you is to live with him out there. This is just the filling station. And every person here, God is ready to take you and make your voice. I know you shared with me some things before that were very encouraging. Thanks for building me up and sharing about you at the same time. But in that, as soon as I looked at you just now, I saw the gift of evangelism that God wants to take to another level. This is a season where, because you've said yes to the growth process since our last meeting and you've been engaging and doing your part, you're going to see that God begins to arrange conversations. And it's not that you'd have to be Peter talking to the 5,000. Just be relational like Jesus with the woman at the well. And you're going to see that the living God is inside of you, building you up, sharing your heart with others. Because it's about sharing of hearts. And that's going to be a fun journey for you. Yeah. Are you friends, family, sitting near each other? You what?
I said we like each other.
Good. Do you have jewelry attached to that liking?
Yes, we do.
Very good. That's good news. Yeah. There's a permanent liking then. All right. Good. Yeah, well, this includes you as well. And this is a season to stir up the gift of hospitality. And I just really want to encourage you that start asking the Lord, who, what, when, and how in our home? Because there's people to love. And it's going to be a joyful thing. Your compassion, your healing heart is just going to really emerge. And you're going to be like the kind of person that brings relational healing to people. If you'll just, again, it's an invitation to cultivate a gift. And in doing that, you will be filled with joy and others will find healing for their hearts.
Just quick, I don't want to interrupt the flow of what we're going to keep doing, but if I'd like to take a quick offering for him because, you know, if we don't do it now, we won't be able to, and I want to bless Dan. And so if we could just pass the baskets while we just continue. If you are a parent and you have kids over there, go get your kids and you can come back and then tell the workers over there too, hey, join us for some overtime. Come on. So encourage them. They'll be blown away that we actually thought of them. So Steve Arsenault, I'll hear about this. He'll be like, oh, you're so wonderful, Sean. Thank you. Anyway.
Amen. All right. Yeah, the Lord just really loves your heart. I was just watching you as you were weeping and playing earlier, and I used to do the same thing back in the day. I had these three or four songs that I just could never make it through without God just wrecking me, and you were just bringing back good memories, and I just know that your heart is precious to the Lord. And the fact that you keep it tender, it brings him glory, because others need to see a man worship and a man cry. And those are both gifts to the body. So don't shut it down. It's just really a precious thing. Yeah. So Lord, we just love you. We thank you. Father, I thank you for grace. Gary, I just know that this is a season where this whole commentary about prophetic that flows out of relationship, it's already been in you. You've known this message for years, but this is a season to mature in this gift. And you're going to see that as you do that, it might not bring any greater clarity to the season you're in, but it's going to bring greater joy to the season that you're in. Because part of what God is fighting for is to keep your heart fresh and the fire burning. And that's his real agenda in this season. And that's part of where some of the restlessness for what's next and where is really rooted in God. It's like a fire when it's kind of gone down to embers that you stick the stick in it and you stir it all up. And so he's been stirring it up so that the fire reemerges in the way that you were made to carry. Because even though your world may not be this environment of, you know, large crowds, you are a kingdom man, and you carry the kingdom, and you spread the fire in even, you know, places that others would not deem attractive to them. But you bring the fire with such integrity that you just leave behind you a wake of God's goodness. You know, Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Some people look at that as what they get rather than what they leave behind. And I believe that's really intended as what is left behind because we came through that way. And that's what you leave. You leave goodness and mercy behind wherever you go. And you need to know that that's God's appraisal of your heart. And there is such a well done over your life. And I mean, talk about a faithful man. Gary was an elder when I was a pastor in Southern Connecticut like 25 years ago, or I don't even know, a long time, 93, 94, 95. He has been a faithful man of God for all these years. And you just need to know how much pleasure your faithfulness brings to God. Because he celebrates things at a whole different level and for a whole different set of reasons than man does. And you are celebrated in heaven. And Bonnie, I just also, you are a dangerous woman because you think so deeply about important things. And they're all rooted around the issue of loving people because you love people. But you wrestle with complex issues in people's lives. You wrestle with deep things over your children. You wrestle even with your husband and, you know, being that voice to him that keeps perspective. And again, it's this, the pleasure I feel over the fact that you are standing. That you are standing with God, that you are shining with God, that your family shines with God is, you know, it is like you guys are a rare treasure. And your glory in heaven far exceeds any recognition that man could ever give you for even what you've already lived, let alone the life that you will live. Because there is a season coming when you will be released differently. And I think there is another season in between the one I'm seeing and the one you're in now. Because the one I'm seeing involves other nations. And there is a season beyond the next season where you will be uprooted significantly. I don't know whether it's repeated shorter trips or literal relocation, but there will be other nations where you take all that you've been learning in the small into those nations. And some of your mind will be saying, well, we're too old to go now. Why didn't you send us, you know, before? And he's saying, tough. Deal with it. Suck it up. I made you for that hour. And he loves to use us when we can't take credit for it. And that's going to be your story. And your kids are going to have to visit you there. And they're going to go, well, let's get on the plane again to see Grandma and Grandpa, kids, you know. But it's going to be your legacy. And you're building treasure. And I don't know if you've been thinking about, like, investment real estate, but I tried to pull away and go to the next person, and I saw some real estate investment that would become like a perpetual funding vehicle for those years of your life. And it's a time to start talking to the Lord about strategic investments and how to build that legacy for those future seasons. So I just bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, we just praise you. Turn to somebody and say, God likes you. He doesn't just love you. He likes you. He enjoys you. Holy Spirit. Let's just worship for a minute. Just sing in tongues or whatever you're good at. Just keep playing that basic chord progression. Doesn't have to be complicated. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Come on, press in a little bit. Stir your spirit up. Ask God to encounter you. Ask God to fill you, to renew you. Some of you are just spiritually weary, and it's a season just for a fresh washing of the Spirit of God. Oh, we love you, Lord. Come and fill us, Lord. Come and strengthen us, Lord. Hey. We worship you. Father, we want more of you. We want your glory. Just come on, keep singing. Keep pressing in. If I start preaching, you just keep singing. Just keep singing. God's going to teach us how to persevere in the Spirit. He's going to teach us how to lay a hold of him in a deeper and deeper way so that we go to deeper authority, to greater levels. Shema la 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 la. This is a season, man of God, that you're going to go deeper. You're going to go higher. You've been a faithful man. You've been a pillar in the house. But God is going to make you a warrior in a way you've never understood before. He's going to teach you about your authority. And you're going to find that a preaching gift begins to erupt in your soul. And you're going to find that your mouth comes alive with a desire to help others know the word and live the word. You're going to walk in a new boldness and a new strength. So I just thank you, Father. We worship you, worship you. Holy Lord, holy Lord. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, holy. There's going to be an outpouring of healing in the presence of God in this coming season. More and more as you abide in His presence, you'll see the presence of God just come down on the room, and people will get delivered, people will get healed, people's lives will be changed by the glory, by learning to abide in God's presence. It's a season to abide. It's a season to abide. It's a season to abide. The Lord's going to awaken a hunger just to be living in a constant conversation with Him. Just a continuous dialogue, not a monologue, a dialogue where you speak and He speaks back and forth. Your ears are going to be open. Your heart's going to awaken. We just thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for the gift of counsel, the gift of teaching. You're going to see these two gifts just grow and accelerate in this season. Counsel and teaching. You're going to help people understand the practical things, how to live day to day, how to succeed in life. You'll teach the things of the Spirit, but you'll also make the things of the natural very spiritual. That will be your gift. And I just see you just teaching women how to make life at home a godly life. And there's just going to be an excellent mentoring, spiritual mothering gift on your life. Father, we worship you. We worship you. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. Can this go up just a little bit? I don't want to strain my voice. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to speak to people you never thought you'd be dealing with. You're going to go, wow, these people, they're not my tribe. And the Lord says, exactly. You're going to show people from different tribes what your tribe can look like. You're going to open their eyes to the kingdom tribe. You're going to be used in ways that anchor people in an understanding. In the years ahead, you will actually show people who've never understood home life and family life what that looks like, what it means to be family. That will be a great strength that you have. Even these young people and teenagers that they've never really had a dad or a mom that actually related to them. You're going to be used by the Lord as the one that brings healing and peace and models something. You're going to model communication. You're going to model gentleness because you have this gentle spirit and yet a great inner strength. And yet you're going to have to learn how to not be offended by offensive people because they're going to be in your life. Offensive people are going to be in front of you frequently. And you're just going to really have to learn how to have thick skin and a tender heart so that you can just bring the wisdom of God, not the reactions of man. And that, so this is the season where God is sharpening and refining you so that you are able to enter those worlds wisely and gently. And so I just bless you and just say, get ready for God's classroom, because it's a classroom coming your way. And there, as soon as I said that again, I tried to move on. Don't be surprised if there is a literal classroom for you as well. So get ready for that classroom too. And don't worry about the cost of it, because God has your back. God is really good at being supernatural, at exceeding our expectation, at showing himself strong. But he does it in ways that sneak up on us. Ways when we're looking left and he comes from the right and we go, I didn't see that coming. And that's a sentence for you. There are some things coming that you're not going to see coming, but you're going to see them. And when you see them, you're going to go, I serve a big God. I serve a good God. And don't be surprised if there's a little trial as a part of what's coming. And that's going to be part of where you see God's bigness. Yeah. I mean, I am not saying this is literal because I don't know, but it's like a legal case where you need answers and God brings answers in ways that the wisdom of Solomon suddenly is there. And you're going to go, I didn't see that answer coming. But God knows how to silence accusers and critics. And so I just bless you. Yeah. Did that make sense? Good. Just check in, you know. Every now and then, before I go too far down a path, I like to ask, am I on the right path here? You know, Because if I wasn't so terrified of being wrong, I probably could have said more. Because there was more to say. But I was like, So I may be back. But just now that I know it's okay, yeah. There is always an element of fear and trembling in what I do. You know, just, yeah. Because wrong words can be really unhelpful. Yeah. That's why it's important for each one of us to understand one really important scripture about prophetic ministry. It says, first of all, do not despise prophetic ministry. So don't blow it off. But it says, test everything. Turn to somebody and say, test everything. My job's to speak it. Your job's to test it. Because I am not vain enough to believe that I am 100% accurate. I am growing in my gift. Just like you. And so I'm reasonably accurate, but we still judge no matter who is the one speaking. Amen? Yeah. I don't care. I'm going to just pull back my mouth for a moment and move on. So Lord, we love you. The Lord is glad that you are here today. He is fighting for you because the enemy has been trying to dislodge you. I don't have any idea about your life, but I just saw you like under assault I'm seeing military pictures today, and it's like you have this position you've been given by the Lord, this gun emplacement, and the enemy's been attacking and attacking, trying to move you from your position in God and your position in life. It's both. Because he's trying to rob you of the geographical to rob you of the spiritual. And so God is fighting to help you hold your position in the body, in geographical circumstances, and in the spirit. He is fighting for you because you matter. And you need to be so confident in that. Your presence matters. Your gifts matter. Your personality matters. God made you specifically to bring him glory. Yeah. Is this your daughter? She is awesome. And I'm going to prophesy over her. Yeah. Yeah. There is a gift for seeing that's going to be revealed in her life. You'll see it. You'll know it. But she's going to be very alert. She's already very observant. She's interested. She's curious. And those are the first fruits of a prophetic gift. Of a gift. Amen. Probably going to preach, I think, from that too. You know, spontaneous. That maybe that was tongues. You know, maybe she's shurababa. Anyhow, sorry. Little bunny trail humor there. But this seeing gift is going to be very clear, very creative, and you're going to need to monitor. Just listen to her a lot. When she begins to talk and she's telling you things, you're going to see she's having dreams. You're going to see the Spirit of God through the things she colors and draws. And she's going to have these one-liners where words come out of your mouth and you're just going to be, or her mouth, and you're going to go. Because she's going to have no idea the profoundness of what she just said. But that gift is going to be on her. And part of that is because you are very prophetic. You know, and the Lord just really wants to encourage that part of you, that this is a season to believe. I really am prophetic. It's part of why I'm highlighting it, is you are, and God wants to encourage it and grow you in it. And so ask him, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Give me the gifts of revelation, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Ask for those things, and it's going to bring this sense of being apart. Because part of what the enemy's plan against you has been to make you not feel apart. He's tried to isolate you emotionally so you feel disconnected. And so the Lord is reaching just to pull you back into the center, and the gifts are going to be part of what helps you feel, I really am a part of what God's doing. And it's going to give you great joy. So bless you. Yeah. Yeah.